Only then was the hood removed. The room wasn't very bright, yet it took Cao Qi's eyes a moment or two to adjust. Illumination came from the same coloured thread clusters that he had seen elsewhere on the Sunai ship. But it was the sight of a Sendrukan, similarly chair-bound and facing him from a couple of metres away, that grabbed his attention. Ah, the Admiral's disciple. You proved more competent than I originally anticipated. Perhaps I should have killed you first. The facing chairs were placed in some kind of alcove next to a raised platform walkway. The clarified Sendrukan wore a close-fitting green uniform with blue highlights. Cao Qi saw that additional restraints held chest, waist and head in place. He didn't know what the clarified meant, but he was ready with a rejoinder. "In one's fondest imaginings," he said, "one may wish for much, only to find that reality is somewhat unaccommodating." "Impertinence," murmured the Sendrukan. "How tiresome." He looked up to a point behind and above Cao Qi. "Lord General, I'm afraid that it is time I was leaving. Would you have my shuttle made ready?"
"You are ours now,"
came a dry, raspy voice that spoke with calm deliberation.
"Upon your re-emergence from the call, you will cherish the way of dust and treasure, the chains of obedience."
The Sendrukan grinned widely. "I fear that you are mistaken." As he tipped his head back, dark lines appeared on his neck, extending up the sides of his head to his hairless scalp. Cao Qi's curious stare turned to one of horror as the dark lines began to smoke and a dull redness glowed through the charring flesh. Small tremors in the Sendrukan's limbs quickly became convulsive spasms, and a nauseating smell filled the air. The grotesque display ended with a prolonged moment of locked muscles before something gave and the Sendrukan slumped slightly in the chair, muscles now relaxed, wisps of smoke or steam rising from blackened eyes and mouth. A bulky humanoid form swathed in dark robes trudged into view, went up to the body and, with odd, thick fingers, examined and prodded it. A flexible, probe-like device was produced to test the mouth and ears.
"Death, High One," the examiner pronounced, "as predicted."
"Wheel it over to the bone carrier. Have the call master scrape its mind flesh for any vestiges."
The robed figure tipped the dead Sendrukan's chair back on the wheels Cao Qi hadn't noticed before, and pushed it away. Heavy footsteps began on the platform behind him, moved round and approached from the left. An imposing figure came into view, a tall man clad head to foot in a strange grey armour, the one whom the Sendrukan had called Lord General. At first glance, the whole assemblage appeared thoroughly archaic, like something from Earth history, from medieval Europa. But a closer look revealed telling details. The bulky, segmented breastplate was attached to the backplate with what seemed to be leather straps, as were the arm and leg armour sections. And, in the shadowy gaps between, Cao Qi could see gleaming machine parts and flexing spirals of shielded cabling.